is flowing everywhere. Whosoever drinks of it shall never ever thirst again. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere. Shall never play like you know it now. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere. Come on, come on. The fountain of life is flowing. The fountain of life is flowing all over this room. You are going to drink and it will quench your thirst forever. Oh, the fountain of life. Can you rejoice? The fountain is flowing. The fountain of living waters. The fountain of life. Never ever. The fountain of life flowing everywhere. The fountain of life. Sing it again and again.
The fountain of life is going everywhere.
The fountain
of life is going everywhere.
Yes, the fountain of life is flowing all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The fountain of life is flowing in this place. Hallelujah. Come on.
The fountain of life is flowing everywhere.
The fountain of life. Hey.
It's flowing everywhere.
Yeah, come on.
Whosoever drinks.
Shakata la kabara kadaba. Oh, the fountain of life
is flowing everywhere. Whosoever drinks shall never ever thirst again.
Maybe you should dance a little. Come on, come on, come on. Whosoever drinks of it. The fountain of life.
The fountain of life. Yeah. So we everywhere. So ever dream. Shall never ever.
The fountain of life.
The fountain of life. So we everywhere. So ever dream.
Come on.
Shall never ever.
These are old songs. We sang them those days. We didn't understand what we're singing. Whosoever drinks shall never, never test again. The fountain of life. Come on. Listen. After you drink, he will not come and sing, "Fill my cup, Lord," because he will not test again. Shall never, ever test again. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere. Come on, come on. The gospel of Jesus is the fountain of life. Hey, the fountain of life. That is the fountain that quenched my thirst. Hallelujah. You will not be satisfied. You will keep jumping from one place to another looking for what is not lost. The gospel is the fountain of life. Whosoever drinks of it will not thirst again. You won't come and sing, "Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul." Jesus says, if you know whom it is that asks you to give him a drink, then you will ask him to give you a drink. Because if you drink this water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'm about to give to you, you will not thirst again, because it shall be in you a well of living waters springing up to everlasting life. The fountain of life. It's just flowing. It's just flowing. As the gospel is preached, that fountain is flowing. Anyone who believes, believing is drinking, is partaking. The moment you drink, you rest. Are you hearing me? All the hunger, all the taste, all the desperation, all the things you are satisfied immediately. So until you hear the gospel, you are not satisfied. You keep running around, looking for God. You climb the mountains, you are looking for God. You climb mountains, you are looking for God. You go to campgrounds, thinking that God is in the campground. Ah, God is not in any campground. God is not on any mountain. Are you hearing me? You jump from one meeting to another, thinking that you can have an encounter with God. By the way, people are always talking about encounter. What do they mean by that? What do they mean by encounter? They say you have not had an encounter. What do you mean by encounter? That somebody laid hand on you and you fell down and didn't stand up for another 2 hours. That is a stupid encounter. The only encounter we have in scriptures is that you hear the gospel of Jesus and you believe it. And the moment you believe that gospel, all your sins are forgiven. That's a permanent encounter. Not this one, you fall on the ground, stay there for 2 hours. But after 6 months, you are looking for another campground. You are looking for another altar to go and lie on. That's a yeah encounter. A very temporal, stupid encounter. The encounter that lasts permanently is the encounter that you have when you hear the gospel. Deals with your sin completely. Restores back relationship with God permanently. Reconciles you with God once and for all. You don't need to go out to the altar again to give your life to Christ or to rededicate it. Are you hearing me? Are you ready for good news?
Yeah.
Are you ready for good news?
Yeah.
He says when we come here, what do we hear? Good news. Good, that's Pastor Elite celebrating. Pastor Peter Ohimayo. Are you here, ready to hear good news? 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Give me scriptures. You can sit down now. Let's do this thing. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Hello. 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 Come on. Hello. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere now. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Come on. You can read for me if you are there. Just read. But I want it to be read in NIV. And most of the scriptures this evening should be read in NIV. Look at this. I am writing to you, dear children. Because your sins have been what? On what? On account. This thing is not sounding well. God. On account of his name. Your sins have been forgiven on account. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake. That's good news. I said that's good news. I said that's what? You can bring it down to the barest minimum. My dear children, I write this to you because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You know, if you don't understand forgiveness of sin, Satan will mess you up. A church that does not understand forgiveness of sin will be crippled by Satan. Are you hearing me? The hallmark of the gospel that we preach is that your sins have been forgiven you. And until you understand that and embrace it, you cannot rule over Satan. You can't mess Satan up. Hello? Church, are you here? Are you here? Can we share these things? Or you are tired of hearing that your sins are forgiven you? But you know, when you understand the gospel, you don't have another message. You keep repeating yourself. Even when you come here next month, I will still talk about forgiveness of sin. Forgive us. God gave us only one message. And we have to keep preaching the same thing. Your bid to sound new and deep. There's a problem with that. You will soon fall into error. In your bid to sound new. You want to get a new rev. You are close to error. Are you hearing me? If you understand the gospel, just stay there. The gospel is deep enough. The depth is okay. You don't go deeper than that. But when we bring it every time, we bring it with freshness. We bring it with life. That's what makes the difference. But it's the same thing we say. We repeat ourselves again and again and again. And the reason why we have to do that is because you have to be rooted and grounded. You have to be fully persuaded. How I know you are fully persuaded that your sins have been forgiven is that when you go out of here and you make a mistake, you don't feel guilty. Hey, can I preach here? Hey. It's like my village people decided to follow me to this meeting. But you see, whether they like it or not, I must preach the gospel. I said, your sins are forgiven you on account of his name. That is the gospel that we preach. Can we look at other scriptures that portrays this point? Can we show you scriptures that your sins have been forgiven? Your sins, past, present, and future. And the moment you see that clause, because that is the clause of the New Testament, their sins and their iniquities, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. The moment you understand that line of the New Testament, you will rule over Satan. You will manifest the things of the Spirit with ease. Are you hearing me? You will live the Christian life with ease. You are not under pressure to perform. God does not put pressure on his children. Are you with me? Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Follow me. I want us to flow. I don't want us to be distracted. Follow me. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. You have to concentrate on what I'm sharing now. Acts 13, 38. Somebody can read for me once you get there, because the screen will not come up as fast as I want. Acts 13, 38. Therefore, my friends. My friends, listen to me. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Verse, the next verse. Look at that. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. That's good news. That's good news. Through Jesus, what do we preach? What do we preach? The forgiveness of what? Well, you are preaching that by fire. You are preaching it through Jesus. That's an error. Hello? Hey, are you here? You are preaching spirit husband. You are preaching it through Jesus. That's a major deviation from the truth. What we preach in his name is that the sins of men have been forgiven them. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Look at scriptures. two or three witnesses, but a matter is established, a truth is established. We might even give you more than two or three. You will see witnesses. Witnesses. Luke 24, verse 46. Follow me. I said to them, first of all, in verse 45, it opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Right? So this is the understanding of the scriptures. Hey, are you here? Are you here? In verse 45, then opened he their what? Understanding, that they might do what? Understand the scriptures. So from what 46, what you see is the understanding of the scriptures. And said to them, thus it is written that the Christ, Messiah, should suffer and on the third day rise from among us. The next verse. And that what? Repentance and you are reading Amplified. Okay. Let's read NIV now. And repentance for what? For what? For the forgiveness of sin. Will be preached in his what? Any other thing you preach in his name is a major deviation. What we preach in his name is that your sins have been forgiven you. I write unto you, little children, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Friends, I am saying to you, I want you to know that because of Christ, what is preached unto you in his name is the forgiveness of sin and repentance. King James says repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached unto you, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is the these are the last words of Jesus. This way he was just telling the disciples or the apostles the message. The message. This is the message that you ought to preach in my name. Hello? Hello? Are you here? So, when you start preaching success power and you are preaching it in the name of Jesus, there is a major error. Hello? You know, because we do everything in his name now. Huh? You are doing something stupid, but you are calling the name of Jesus in it. And unsuspecting religious mind, because he heard the name of Jesus, will just be following like a mumu. That we are calling the name of Jesus in a place does not mean what we are doing is in agreement with scriptures. Hey, are you following what I'm sharing? I'm showing you line upon line what we preach in his name. Not every message preached is the gospel. Jesus defines for us what you should preach in his name. Hey, my God. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Can I ask you a question? Huh? Are there ministers in this room? If you're a minister, can you just wave to me? Ministers, can you wave to me? Can I ask you a question? What are you preaching in his name? Hello? Hello? What are you preaching in his name? Your song, is it not a message? Song is a message. So what are you preaching in his name? For you. We'll check the lyrics of your song. We'll see Jesus, Jesus, Jesus up and down in the song. But everything you are talking about is contrary to the person. Contrary to the person. How can you be calling the name of Jesus when you are killing enemies? Does that not look like, in English language, what do you call that? Like an irony. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save. Eh? And you say that in your enemy should die by fire in Jesus' name. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people. You are asking somebody to die in the name of Jesus. Didn't you see the error there? Eh? Even when you are praying that, Jesus will be saying, don't you understand? There's only one. I'm a savior. I don't kill. I don't kill people. So we do so many things. We do them in the name of Jesus. But they are not in agreement. This is what we do in his name. We preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Scriptures, scriptures, scriptures. Follow me. We're coming. Are you with me? Church, are you with me? By the way, you are so cold. Are you with me? Yes, you have to respond. You have to respond. You have to respond. If you don't respond, I will make all of you to stand and we preach the message together. Hello? Hello? You have to respond. Else, we preach the message to... By the way, there are men and women of God here. I don't need to suffer myself too much. I can preach like 5 minutes and give sister blessing the mic. She come and preach another 10 minutes. I give Pastor Debbie the mic. Sister Patience, we just keep saying that. I just sit down. So if you don't respond, I know what to do. The mic will start going around. So if you want me to preach this message to the end, you better respond. Amen. I'm just destroying this thing I just said now. Amen. Amen. I thought some people would not be obedient to the heavenly calling. Amen. Acts chapter what? Then, to him give all the prophet witness. Come on. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? That word remission is forgiveness of sin. Through his name. NIV shows it. My God. All the prophets testify about him. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Do you see what the name of Jesus affords? Do you see what the name of Jesus offers us? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. It's not a tool. It's not a tool for killing your enemies, brother. It's not a tool.
It's not a tool for sending your enemies packing. It's not a tool for kill them before they kill you. It's not a tool for altar versus altar. We don't do such things in the name of Jesus. You can call another name. You can do it in another. You can do it in the name of Babalawo, one, Osun, Ogun, all these things. Not in the name. Not in the name of Jesus. This name only offers forgiveness of sins. That through his name, whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Do you believe in that name? Your sins are forgiven you. Hello? Are you with me, church? Now listen to this. Not that, hey, listen to this. I know when I said, now listen to this. And people used to remember that ring too. You see, hey, listen to this. You now hear tongues. I didn't say anything anyway. Amen. Can we still preach? Eh? Okay. If you don't understand the forgiveness of sin, Satan will cripple you. You'll be powerless. You can't exercise the authority of the believer when you don't understand righteousness. Are you here? When you don't know that your sins have been forgiven. See, any church that does not understand the forgiveness of sin will just be crippled by Satan. You see a believer running helter-skelter, looking for solution, looking for help. They tag this place, solution ground, you run, go there. Solution, mountain of solution, you run, go there. Oil of solution, you run, go there. This solution you are looking for, what is it? What is even the problem? That you are running from one pillar to one post, from one mountain to one small cave, from one battle torch to one... What is that? You are looking for solution. Meanwhile, you can stay in the corner of your room, just by the side of your bed, and mess the devil up. Huh? You can even be drinking tea and bread and humble the devil without stress. Can we preach here? Do you know that the weapon of Satan is sin and the law? Yeah? The weapon that Satan has over man is sin and the law. Wisdom, come. You are wearing black, so he's the righteousness of God, but today he's going to act as Satan. Stand on this thing. So, off it. People should off it. Put off the pan. I must preach this gospel. Put it off. You should know this one. You went to own it. So who will be hearing this message and they'll be hearing all this thing I'm saying? It will bless them. Two weapons. Hold it. Let's assume that this is a gun and this is a bomb. This is sin. Huh? Are you following me? This is what? No. This is the law. The law. Please follow. This is the law. And this is sin. I wish we had weapons for real. We have given him. We'll see what I'm showing you now. This is the law. And this is sin. Every time Satan comes to you, these are his two weapons. Hello? By the way, when an armed robber tries to attack you, what you are afraid of is not the armed robber. What you are afraid of is the weapon he's carrying. Hello? Are you here? When a thief comes to you, maybe you are passing one corner in the campus like this, you are trying to go to your hostel in the one dark side, and hey, you! Is that Ify? Is she the one? Good to see you. Give me your phone! You know you are not afraid of the boy. What you are afraid of is the cutlass you are seeing. You know that if you do anyhow, something will fall off now. So I better reset myself and give him this phone. Because if he didn't come with people, you put your phone in your pocket and I go dig around for there. Right? You're not afraid of him. If you meet him on a normal day, you will not run away. You can even jack him. Hey, Your fear is not the person, your fear is the weapon. Huh? So, Satan has two weapons. By the way, it's called the thief. The thief. No thief goes to steal without a weapon. Because you won't be afraid of him because he's wearing a black mask. You will be afraid of him because he's holding a gun, a cutlass, something that can harm you. And then you give him your money, you give him your phone, he carries your laptop. You are even begging him, please, please don't kill me, please. And you are giving him your things. You are afraid of the weapon, not the person. So Satan has two weapons: the law and sin. The law and sin. This one is the strength of sin. The law is the strength of sin. The sin is the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 56. You can put it up. 1 Corinthians, let's look at, I'm going to show you scriptures. Just follow what this illustration. You know why we use illustration? It will remain permanently in your mind. You will see us disarm this guy. When we disarm him, then you have no reason to fear him. Are you hearing me? When a thief comes to you and is not holding any arm, you don't fear him. You fight it out. You fight it out. You are not afraid of him. You are only afraid of the weapon. Then when the weapons have been taken away, brother, then let's face ourselves now. Huh? You with me? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So sin, the law strengthens sin, then sin produces death. When Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says he now has the key of death and hell. What is that? The key of death and hell is sin and the law. Hello? The law strengthens sin. Sin produces death. So this is Satan for us today. And then he comes to you with the law. What does the law do? The assignment of the law is to show you your weakness. Show you that you are a sinner. The duty of the law is to condemn you. Are you hearing me? Every time the law is preached, it is called the ministry of condemnation. Right? The ministry of death. Every time we preach the law, we do that in a bid to condemn you, to show you that you are a sinner, that you are not righteous. So, Satan comes with the law, shows you how that you are even putting attachment on your head. You even want this thing. I mean, why do you wear all these things? You know, one of my classmates said she died. I was in a hurry to mess up that her vision. Quickly. Say she died. She knows that she died. That this one is not that she was dreaming. That she saw herself come out of the body. This and that. And she saw an old man. Nigerian film. Came out. And the old man now took her somewhere. They now opened the screen. Blah, 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 blah. They are now saying that people that are wearing trousers, people that are wearing this. Quickly. I say, hold on. Let me show you something. And I messed up the vision. See that you didn't die one. In fact, Satan just appeared to you. By the time I showed her scripture, she knew that it is nonsense. This is Satan. He comes to you with the law. And every time he comes to you with the law, he condemns you. He makes you feel guilty. He makes you feel condemned for this wrong thing that you did. Listen to me. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed. So the only way Satan can accuse you is because of the law. It is the law that defines for us what sin is. Paul says, I would not have known what covetousness is now. How would I have known? Except that the law says you should not covet. So because the law says I should not covet, I now knew covetousness. So when I do something now, the law says, you see, you are covetous. You are covetous. How can a covetous person now be praying to God? You like this. You are so greedy. So greedy. Akagom like this. You can't even give to a poor beggar. Covetousness. And then when you want to pray, the prayer will be, Lord, forgive me for covetousness. For every sin of commission, omission, commotion, transmission. Did I say transmission? Is it? Okay, the omission of the transmission. Sorry, the transmission of the omission. Well, anyone. So, Satan comes to you with the law. And the moment he introduces the law, you become afraid. Hello? Your heart sinks. You feel unworthy. You feel unqualified. You feel disqualified. You feel like God is angry with you. You feel vulnerable. Are you hearing me? You feel like the presence of